First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of EdSprinkston.com. You go for stories, podcasts, whatever we've got going. While you're at EdSprinkston.com, I would ask that you please do a few things. First and foremost, like the thousands of people before you, please join the email newsletter, and we'll get you updates on a weekly or monthly basis. Secondly, please join the RSS feed, and we'll get your podcast delivered direct to your inbox as well. And finally, donate. Yes, we do have a handy-dandy donate button right there at edspringster.com, and we'd appreciate any help you could give us. Kind of helps us keep everything rolling. In the meantime, call-in number is always 858-683-1326. For those of you in the listening queue, please hit the number 1 on your dial pad. We'll try to get you on air as soon as possible. The live chat is now open. And you can also reach me at Facebook on Messenger at Ed Springsteen. So there you go. That's all the background and all the other hoopla. Not sure where Mr. Martin is just yet. I would imagine he will be joining us momentarily at some point. Ed kind of gets stuck with that business that Barack Obama built for him every now and then, so it takes a while. And, it is what it is. So we got a lot to go over, though, however. And, you know, we really need to get into a few things tonight. And I tell you, one of those things I want to get into is this garbage on the sales tax. And I call it a sales tax. Fisher says we need a tax. He's thinking about raising taxes and everything else to help with this so-called $65 million budget shortfall. I find it laughable at best, pathetic at worst. But the reason I call it a sales tax is there was nothing coincidental with these idiots that run this city. Nothing at all. They lost, and I use that term loosely, they lost the local option sales tax. Think about that acronym, right? They couldn't get it passed. So they've been trying to find a way to generate more money for the Democrats to misuse and abuse and screw around with. So now they have decided that we have this $65 million budget shortfall over 4 years, by the way. and that we have to pass this tax. Otherwise, we're going to lose, you know, professional services like police, fire, that kind of stuff. I got to tell you, this has got to be, it's the oldest play in the book. We have to tug on the heartstrings, make it look like the poor people in this community aren't going to get the services that they deserve because we just can't afford it because we're so top-heavy, we don't know which end is down. And when we look at all of that in play, you know, you have to look at the big picture here. Is that really going to happen? No. Can we cut $65 million over 4 years? Oh, hell yeah. We'd cut that in the first year if we wanted to cut it. And that seems to be the biggest deal. Mr. Martin is now joining us. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm tired, Mr. Springsteen, but what the hell? Got to earn my pay, right? So. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to blow that zero add onto your check every year.
I'm telling you. You're going to double my pay for some days I'm particularly worn out, right?
I'm going to make you start giving me some of those zeros back. And we do mean zeros, folks. Neither one of us get paid doing any of this stuff. We're talking about this tax situation, Ed, and I tell you, it's a joke to me that all of a sudden we have this $65 million tax problem when, you know, they lost the local option sales tax that they were shooting for. They gave back $15 million to the federal government, decided they weren't going to renew the early childhood and Head Start money at JCPS through the federal government because they got caught, screwing around with the money. So rather than face the government oversight and having to deal with all of that, they said, okay, we just take it. And lo and behold, all of a sudden we've got this shortfall, and they're going to increase JCPS funding by $20 million, supposedly, for early childhood and Head Start. So where do you think this money comes from? Well, it comes from new property taxes. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, truth of the matter is, it's stretched over whatever it is, 4 years. It's not much money. It's really not. I mean, but yeah, it's just the mayor's going to sit up here. You know, just a couple months ago, everything was hunky dory. You know, we were spending money on helping the Yum Center out. We're building
right.
Soccer stadiums. We're talking about building a useless indoor track in the West End. We're just having a ball spending this money, you know, and all of a sudden now it's like, whoops, you know, and I look at that and think, okay, what's going on here? I mean, we know that they always want to raise taxes. They always want more of other people's money to play with. But, you know, I made the snarky comment, didn't see this coming, you know, back when we had the state of the city or whatever, and, you know, everything's
right.
Supposed to be great. And we're revenues up, we're subsidizing whatever big old hotels, and it's just, you know, just one thing after another. Now all of a sudden, oops, now we have to cut fire and EMS and police. It's like, no. I think you
right.
need to cut soccer stadiums and bike lanes and you know, I hate to say it, but money for the homeless and stuff. It's like, look, you're spending $500,000. You know, we're going to budget $500,000 for that. So it's like, look, guys, you're throwing money all over the place.
Right.
Then come to us and say, well, it's going to be $65 million over 4 years. So, you know, let's not. On top of that, you know, think, oh, $65 million sounds so much better, so much more drastic when you say it's like, no, it's $15 million or so a year is what it amounts to.
Right.
So,
well, they're trying to say, but they're trying to say the first year. Well, they're trying to say the first year we have to have $35 million, and I don't really care. The point of the matter is our budget is well over $700 million a year. That's counting federal funds. I'm not going to say it's all Louisville money. But, you know, JCPS got in trouble with their Head Start money. They unanimously voted in May to give up their $15 million grant just a few days before the federal government issued a damning letter to JCPS, faulting JCPS for continuing to put student safety at risk. The notice from the Federal Office of Head Start detailed new allegations and reports of abuse and neglect. You know, JCPS has been under federal oversight since fall of 2017 and would probably have lost its funding anyway. So they tried to pretend to us that they were doing all this because they just didn't. They did it because they weren't living up to the thing. And quite frankly, if they think this $65 million over 4 years is a big deal, if the feds ever came in here and audited all these federal grants that the city of Louisville gets, millions and millions of dollars would be gone. Because they lie, cheat, and steal and abuse these grants and never follow through with the tenets of what these grants are for. We'll give some examples of that in a minute. I want to bring Paul in real quick. He's been on hold for a minute. How are you, sir?
Well, hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Paul, you got to work on your sound. I can't hardly hear you.
Okay, hold on a minute.
All right. Okay.
Solve it now.
You usually
okay.
That's much, much better. You were using a headset, weren't you?
I was.
There we go.
Hey, listen,
go ahead.
Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, and it's something that I believe both of you know already, and probably a few of your listening audience knows as well. Right back when the Louisville and Jefferson County government merger happened, one of the things that the new merged government did was to get rid of assets that they deemed no longer necessary to the function of merged government. One of those assets, just for an example, was the Southfields Police Training Grounds that the police objected to, but it didn't make any difference. So they got rid of it anyway. They also got rid of a number of other real estate holdings in Jefferson County that they deemed were not necessary to government function. Well, there's actually exists right now a real estate asset of quite substantial value that has no substantial government function that could be sold off and take care of this $65 million shortfall in one fell swoop. Okay?
I bet I know what you're talking about. What's it worth?
I bet it's
Churchill Downs.
It is Churchill Downs. The city of Louisville, under Democrat Mayor Dave Armstrong, acquired the title to 142 acres of land that the Churchill Downs racetrack, barns, parking lots sits on.
Right.
And the title holder on that tract of land is the city of Louisville, Metro Government. Now, I would bet you that if that piece of property were offered for sale, that there would be some mega-rich individual or corporation or maybe even a Saudi sheik that would come forward and would easily pony up $65 million for that tract of land. Easily.
Actually, I actually agree with that, especially as far as the Saudi sheik. They would love to own a racetrack, especially Churchill Downs,
yeah.
The history of the Kentucky
Derby.
Churchill. Yeah. I don't know what their property value is. I'll be honest with you. I can't even tell you what, Churchill Downs doesn't pay property taxes. In lieu of property taxes, they pay a lump sum every year to JCPS. It's not what I think the property is worth. But I don't know what is the value of that property. How many acres is that? You said it was 100-something?
Well, it's 142 acres for the main track, barns, and parking lots. Churchill Downs, the corporation, is essentially a tenant of the Churchill Downs racetrack property owned by Metro Government. So there's a business relationship there between Churchill Downs, Churchill Downs, the corporation, is a billion-dollar corporation, as you guys probably would have suspected.
Right.
So they're a tenant, a piece of property owned by local government. And Jefferson County Property Valuation Office just recently, within the last years, increased the taxable value or the taxable assessment on that property to a little over $20 million, which, again—
Are you kidding me?
$20 million, and that was up from,
oh my God.
I think it was previously at $3 or $4 million. I mean, it was deliberately undervalued for a very long period of time. And even at $20 million, I think it's undervalued. I do.
I would anticipate that thing would go for well more than $65 million.
So we have, again, we have the solution. We have the solution. It's right there. It will generate the $65 million. Just put it up for sale on the world market. Somebody or some corporation will come along, and they'll swoop that thing right up, put it into their portfolio.
I think you got a point. Mr. Martin, go ahead.
Well, I think so. I think that's a possibility, but – you know, and of course, in CDI, Churchill Downs Incorporated could buy it too. But for me, like I say, I'm just looking at it just as the Stop It guys would tell you, it's just the nickel and diming stuff that they do on the spending end is what gets me. It's just how many little pet projects do we have? You know, they're handing money out. You know, and not the least of which is lawsuits and stuff. The police, look at that. But you know, then I look at things like the recent Google Fiber failure. City spent almost half a million dollars on some DC law firm trying to get to force AT&T to take their
right.
to allow Google to move their equipment. Which, you know, I'm not a big fan of big corporations, but I can see where AT&T doesn't want that to happen, you know, stay off my stuff.
$400,000.
But, yeah, I mean, the city just, it's constantly doing stuff. Like I say, I look at the hotels and the 4th Street Live stuff over the years. You name it, the soccer stadium. I know they say they're supposed to get their money back, but I just look at so much stuff, and somebody says, well, it really amounts to like 40 cents a person for the next 4 years, you know, in the city. And granted, a lot of those persons are kids who don't pay taxes. So, yeah, I'm 40 cents a month. So it's not that bad. And that's what always cracks me up about politicians is when they want something to sound bad or good, they put it in they don't really explain it, but they'll put it anywhere from a 4 to 10 year context. So no, we're 15, maybe $16 million a year in arrears, you know, because of the pension, you know, the pension that Andy Beshear didn't let Bevin try to fix. So yeah,
right.
Whatever.
Well,
I see that stuff, you know, and hell, it's raining right now and Lord knows MSD charges is all a runoff fee. So, you know, who knows?
Right.
Maybe it keeps raining. MSD will be able to pick the tab up on that. Who knows?
Right. Well, see, that's it. I mean, you know, you're not looking at a big amount of money either. I mean, you know, roughly we've got $720 to $750 million a year counting federal funds. I want to make sure I clear that because if somebody will say, oh, we don't have that kind of a budget, yeah, we do with the federal grants and everything else we receive. But, you know, when you look at this in the big picture of stuff, you're looking at maybe 1.5% to 2% if you actually went with a cut across the board. Shit, you could cut most of that out of JCPS. You've got over two daggone chiefs for every Indian on the JCPS. For every teacher we've got like 2.5 daggone, you know, support staff and chiefs. I mean, that's just totally ridiculous. It's completely backwards from the rest of the country. You could cut that much from JCPS. And the other thing that bothers me about this as well is when you look at this, one of the things that they're talking about, and it drives me completely bonkers, once again, they're talking about special tax districts, adding taxes to insurance. We're already paying through the roof for insurance. You know, these special tax districts, we're talking about TIF districts. These TIF districts aren't working so well. The people downtown that keep getting stuck with these TIF districts for the KFC, Yum Center, and all the other crap that they do are losing money. They're not making any money because the taxes are too high. So what ultimately happens is you're going to run that out of business. Then we're going to subsidize somebody else to come in tax-free and give them upfront money. You know, all of those things add up. I mean, these are either the dumbest people ever running this city, or they just don't give a shit. All they want is more money to sit there and you know, basically pollute and take care of themselves with. I just think it's ridiculous. You know, how can we continue doing these TIF districts? It's like you mentioned the hotels, Ed, like the Omni, or all the things that they're doing downtown. You know, those things aren't adding any value here. 4th Street Live, remember Cordish Group? They were supposed to bring money to the city. We have never received a dime on that. Not one dime. We continue subsidizing them. You know, so we're spending all of our money, all of our tax money, to all these corporations that come here. 4th Street Live goes through tenants like water. How many different tenants have they had on 4th Street Live since they opened up? And it was supposed to be the hot spot, right? So, you know, I don't understand why people can't call these idiots like Fisher and everybody else for what they truly are. And I'll be honest with you, the one person who I'm actually got some respect for happens to be a Democrat. But let's look at Brent Ackerson, right? I mean, he's calling Fisher out and everything else. I'm really, really pleased with Brent Ackerson. Now, he's a Democrat, folks, so that freaks you all out. But Brent Ackerson is saying, hey, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell us about this shit a long time ago? Why do we have to continue, you know, getting to a point where big decisions come and we have to make a decision in a week at the last minute because of these fast-tracking crafts? This is something we should have had time to prepare for, something we could have talked about, something we could have worked on. But now all of a sudden we have to have it mandatory. It's an emergency, right? And I love the fact that Ackerson is calling out his own party and his own mayor. And, you know, props to him for doing so. But, so what's the answer? We know we can sell Churchill Downs. Paul, I absolutely love that idea. You know, we have talked about Churchill Downs getting taken care of for free in this city for many, many years. You know, I mean, you look at the bills, MSD, all the other stuff that we have to pay increased rates for, they're not stuck with because it's city-owned property, right? All these different things,
property.
I mean, you know, they make millions and millions of dollars, and that's how they make it, is on our tax money. So how do we get control of this? What's the answer?
In the meantime, Churchill Downs, the corporation, has invested something like $20 or $30 million into structural and grounds upgrades. They've got this gigantic jumbotron out there now. They're remodeling it like the grandstands like crazy. And like most corporations, when they make investments like that, that becomes a depreciable asset. So over time, those things will end up getting paid for by reducing the taxes that Churchill Downs, the corporation, pays.
So it's essentially a zero-sum game.
Well, but who pays for those depreciations?
I get it.
Everybody else does, okay?
Absolutely.
Everybody else pays for those.
So what do we do with this? Why is it that nobody is talking about that as an option? And what's the answer for this tax situation? Because we don't need new taxes.
I'll tell you what, I think it's a creative idea. But I think it's pure bullshit. You know, I do think even the Churchill Downs idea, although interesting, you know, the one shot, you know, emergency fund kind of thing, I think, you know, in this situation, that's bullshit. You know what? Fisher's supposed to be this big businessman. He's been running the city for two terms now. You know what? Like you said, Ed, it's 1 or 2% of the budget, tops. Okay, Mr. Businessman, make the appropriate cuts to keep essential services on land. Man up, cowboy up, nut up, whatever you want to call it, make the cuts. Cut it somewhere else. You're a freaking businessman. Show me what you got. You know, cut
right.
Whatever, you know. Make it, whether you're so freaking smart, do it with your fuel purchases. You know, buy, go long, go short on fuel. Do it with cutting costs on renting or lease properties that the city might rent or lease in the area. Increase the rental or lease rates for city property or something. Figure it out. Little bitty bits and pieces, like Ackerson said. Fisher knew this was coming. Everybody knew this was coming. He's acting like he didn't. You know, because they want to create a crisis where everybody goes, oh, crap, shit, fire, do it now, boom. And, of course, the do-it-now solution is always nothing but let's just raise some money real quick. No.
Right.
The smart solution, the mature solution, the business solution is you're 1%, 2%, you're going to have a 1% or 2% shortfall. Show me where you can
cut
1%
or
2% from the budget. Show me where you can cut 1% or 2% from the budget. Is it some horseshit? Like I said, Some silly ass indoor track that nobody cares about, or is it bankrolling 40 some odd millionaires in their soccer stadium? Is it bankrolling? Is it cutting another whatever distillery, cutting their tax burden? Is it cutting a hotel's tax burden? You know what is it? go in there and figure it out. Take these little bitty bites out of it, like any businessman does. Look at all your line items on your expenses, all your line items on the revenue. Stay the hell off the taxpayer. We're already one of the highest tax cities going. Figure it out. It's 2%. If you can't figure it out, please resign.
Well, that's it. That's it. I mean, there's not a business in the world that does that, that doesn't do that. You know, that's business. But that's the problem with electing these morons that care more about what they call social justice. There's no such animal. It's a made-up term for Democrats, rather than doing their job. The government is a business, folks. That's it. It's the business of taking care of the city needs and stuff. That's it. Period. The end. When you start treating it like a business, you'll see results. And as much as people hate it when I say this, that's why we're seeing results at the federal level with President Trump. He's a businessman. You might not like him. You might not like the way he says things or anything else. But he's a businessman. That's why we're rolling on all cylinders right now. You know, and every, of course, every business goes through a downturn, which means we collect less taxes. But when you go through that downturn in your business, Ed, what do? You tighten the belt, you make adjustments, don't you?
Same thing you do in any household. And that's the thing. It's not just the business people. It's your household.
Right.
If you're in flow or you find you got a big bill coming up, you know what? You cut back a little here and there. You donate out.
Right.
You take a one-week vacation or a stay. You do a staycation instead of a week. You make cuts where you have to. You know, nothing dramatic.
That's
you
right.
Don't sell both the family. You don't sell a family car. But you make cuts. You know, it's like, oh, hell, you know, it's going to be a little tight. So maybe we turn the thermostat down. You make small adjustments through, you know, in a city's case, you make thousands of small adjustments and pay the freaking bills. But Fisher, like most politicians, is lazy. They're just looking at it and going, okay, well, we need $65 million, we need $15 million.
Well, Fisher's always been lazy.
We're just going to have to raise, you know, we're looking at this, and we're going to have to raise these taxes, and that should do it, you know. Like, well, okay, then what? Is there a sunset on it? So we're $16-17 million for the next 3-4 years. After that, you're going to give it back? Is there a sunset on it?
We know better than that.
That's the thing. If they can't come up with it, you know, and the only solution these idiots can come up with is cutting, you know, or raising taxes, okay, you know, if you can sell me on it, good luck. But if you can, then it's like, okay, and after 4 years, when we're not in arrears anymore and everything's screwed up, complete sunset on it. All
right?
Complete sunset on it. It's
go ahead.
Got an even better idea than just a sunset. If these politicians believe that they have a project that they know is a great project, then why don't, rather than having a special election, why don't they just set up a GoFundMe account and see how many people share their vision, and that way they can share their money.
Don't give them any ideas. They'll probably try that bullshit. But then the bitchy Republicans aren't giving to the GoFundMe because they know the Democrats aren't going to use their money. You know, but you look at a bigger picture here, too. Of course, Fisher and him are trying to blame all of this on the increasing pension costs demanded from Frankfurt. That's a bullshit lie, in my opinion, as well. Are those costs rising? Yes. But it's because of the bullshit that they put in place for these pensions. You know, they haven't held pensions accountable under the Democrat rule for decades. Period. The end. This isn't a Matt Bevin problem. This is an inherited problem for Matt Bevin. And every time he tries to do anything to fix it, they stop it. Andy Beshear goes and files a lawsuit over everything. The teachers don't want to give up anything. The government employees don't want to work with them on a valid contract. You know, you look at all of this stuff, you know, and then they want to sit here and whine. They get back $15 million in federal money, and now they scream that we need more tax revenue. I mean, all of this adds up to a bigger picture, folks.
Yeah.
And I don't see a $65 million shortfall. I think they're full of shit. The pension cost in the crisis is easily averted by everybody, you know, doing their jobs, you know, downsizing JCPS to what it should be in the overhead. I'm not talking about the classroom, folks. Don't get all freaked out. But you downsize JCPS, you give fiscal responsibility out of these guys. You hold them accountable to what they should be doing, because the federal government was going to pull that funding anyway, because they're not doing their job at the schools. Anytime you try to do anything to make that situation better, Everybody's up in arms. Every Democrat screams and hollers foul. So what are they doing to give us any information? Go ahead, Paul.
No, I think both you and Ed are on target with your criticism of government officials and their uncanny ability to have a short-sighted vision. I'll give you a great example as it relates to something you just mentioned. The Kentucky Teachers Pension Funding System, back in the 1950s, it was presented to then-Democrat Governor Lawrence Weatherby that some of the teachers had actually petitioned the state government to go ahead and join the federal Social Security system. And after some study and thought and debate, Lawrence Weatherby unilaterally declared that that wasn't going to happen because, according to him, that would have cost the state about $1 million a year to do that. Okay. So they opted to disallow that. Now, that was in the 1950s. Look what has happened in the intervening years. Instead of finding a way to pay for the $1 million a year back then, we now have how many billions? How many billion shortfall do we have?
Oh,
it's huge.
Ungodly.
It's huge
40,
now.
42
so,
now.
Yeah, so
yeah,
short-sighted political short-sighted political decisions can have long-term consequences, and politicians don't care about long-term consequences.
Well, and it wasn't available, and they wanted the power, and they wanted the easy out, because when you start the pension, you know, if at that point, just like any employer, you have to match the employee's contribution to Social Security. The employer does. That means the state would. What you're saying is the state would have had to. Would have had to send whatever the rate was back then, as it is like now, 6.2%. The employee sends 6.2%. The employer matches 6.2%. So they right now the state can say, yeah, we'll get around to it. But if the state has to send the 6.2% to the federal government, there is no waiting for it. It's like, no, it's going now. So yeah, they just wanted to have the money. They wanted to hold on to the money. They convinced they could work their way through it. But, you know, I look at the whole mess, short-sighted politicians, like I say, when they want to make something sound terrible, they want to make something sound good. It's the only time they use any perspective, you know. Oh, this will generate $100 billion, you know, over 10 years. I just look at it as, like, hey, Fishers needs to get this done, and people need to look at them and say, you know, and I always hear, and this is another complaint that you hear in an issue like this, oh, well, Jefferson County pays more into the rest of the state than that. Or, you know, my response to that is, it's like, well, don't all you good liberals want the people with the money to help the people without the money? So we got a poor state. So, you know, Louisville's going to chip in. Louisville's going to pay more than its fair share because we got more money than they do. This is an acceptable practice when you're talking about rich millionaires paying into it. You know, whatever, paying in more taxes so that they can have better public housing. But when the rich city has to help the state that doesn't have a whole, you know, in many cases doesn't have a bustling financial sector and stuff like that, then it becomes an issue. But in the end, I just think somebody needs to frame it. Greg Fisher does not want to make sacrifices to properly fund pensions. That's what that is.
Because Greg Fisher wants to stay in office.
Greg Fisher does not want to properly fund the public pensions. That's what's going on.
And see,
right
that's
now.
The thing.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't want to fund them any more than his Democratic predecessors did. It's been that way forever. We're talking about the state level and the local level.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted the state to pick up all of this.
You'll have a field day with this, Ed, and you'll have a field day with this. What if it was Angela Leet, the Republican? What if she'd won and she said we have a $65 million? What would the reaction be if a if a Republican mayor all of a sudden was pitching a fit about funding the pension?
Right. Oh, good God. Could you pass the fallout on that? Could you imagine the fallout on that?
It's Fisher, so everybody's the media, the courier, and everybody is sympathetic to him. But if it was Angela Lee, they'd be going, this wicked witch of the East End, I don't think she's from the East End, actually, but this wicked witch of the West doesn't want to make our fair contribution into the already struggling pension fund.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a valid point. And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, that's a valid point. And that's a problem we run into. It's very concerning to me that we continue allowing this absurdity and this double talk and this hypocrisy coming from the Democratic side. They created this mess at the state level and the local level. Let's be real clear here. Democrats have been in charge for decades in a governor's mansion, and at the local level as well. You know, now we have Matt Bevin in the governor's office right now, but it's a rarity in this state. You know, and, you know, let's be fair here, too. All right? The Senate Republicans have had control of the Senate for quite some time, even though the Democrats controlled the House until an election or two ago. But they never came up with anything either. They didn't work together to fix this in Frankfurt either. Matt Bevin is now forcing this issue. Everybody thinks that Matt Bevin is the devil. I don't think Matt Bevin's the devil. I think he's stupid in some ways. But I think he's really seriously trying to fix this. He's looking at everything from a business standpoint, and I got to give him credit for that. You know, and that's the thing. We haven't had a will from the Republicans who are always scared to take on the pension stuff because they were scared to lose votes. And we haven't had a Democrat yet who didn't like a pocket they couldn't pick so that they could daggone take advantage of the situation and enrich themselves. You know, Tony Lindauer should be in jail for the stuff he's done with Churchill Downs, property taxes, and all kinds of other people, undervaluing things for Democrats and overvaluing for Republicans. And he still may end up in jail. I don't know. But all these things are going on. It's a manufactured crisis, in my opinion, because they don't want to do their job. And I think Brent Ackerson is absolutely right. This is the norm for here, that you wait until the last second and start screaming, hey, emergency, 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 and try to force the council to push something through. And let's be real clear here, too. Paul brought up merger earlier, but what were we promised with merger? That combining the county and the city governments would save us a lot of money. I have yet to see a dollar savings from that in all these years. Once they merged, the money we were spending on government increased exponentially, and it continues increasing. So we didn't gain any savings from that. So that was all a lie. You know, all of these things add up, you know, and now we continue manufacturing these crises. So I'm having a little bit of problem trying to deal with that. I think Greg Fisher, as usual, is full of shit. I am very pleased with Brent Ackerson for standing up. Of course, Bill Hollander is out there screaming at Fisher's right and all that shit, but he's basically a socialist, in my opinion, anyway, so he's a waste of space. So we got all these things going on. And in other news around Kentucky, we've got even more going on, speaking of taxes, right? Kentucky Sheriff in Martin County, Sheriff John Kirk, went to a fiscal court meeting and said his office is still owed a $75,000 payment, his sheriff's office, that was due in January. Fiscal court has added new obligations on his office that are going to add $99,000 to his annual expenditures. So he's laid off his bookkeeper, limited office hours to 20 hours a week in the sheriff's office. And oh, by the way, he went on Facebook and told residents that they should lock your doors, load your guns, and get a biting, barking dog. Why is that? Because the sheriff's office in Martin County is suspending all law enforcement activities because there is not enough funding. Now, we look at this as a big picture, we start thinking, oh my God. But the sheriff's office, the law requires a sheriff to do just a couple of things. They're required to collect taxes, they're required to put bailiffs in court, and they're required to serve papers. That's it. The Martin County Sheriff has always went above and beyond to provide police protection without funding. But thanks to Martin County overlooking the obvious and doing the things that they're doing with their budget and abusing their money, apparently, now he's not going to do police protection anymore, which he is not constitutionally obligated to do anyway. And he's catching a big uproar over this. I personally think that this sheriff is doing a good job with this. I think he's forcing the obvious to the forefront. You know, I think residents should actually load their guns and lock their doors anyway. I do that. And, of course, I keep biting, barking dogs at home. You know, so I don't really have much of a problem with this. It's going to force Martin County Fiscal, you know, Commissioner to take care of their stuff and do what they're supposed to be doing, which is the service, serving their community, especially with safety protection. What do you think?
Well, I think Martin County ought to go to, and probably is there. I don't, I'm unfamiliar with Martin County, but I think they ought to go to Kennesaw, Georgia route, just where everybody owns a gun. It's like, look, you want to come into this county and get out of line? Okay. You know? But, you know, in a rural county like that, I think he's right. I think he's doing what he went above and beyond, and they took it for granted, as politicians do. No, he is doing his job. They want him to do something extra. They pound sand. You know, you come up with the money or not. So I think they're done. You know, and it's just like in all these rural counties and stuff, you know, half the city council or whatever, you know, half the relatives got cushy-ass jobs running a weeder
right.
and a median or something like that. So, no, he is fulfilling his obligation. If all he fulfills his obligation, I would stand 100% behind him. I like his commentary, get a biting dog, and, you know, I think best way to phrase that is go Kennesaw on him. Just basically
I actually don't have a problem
known.
With that.
Let it be known that you're breaking into somebody's house and they blow you out the back door.
Absolutely.
Probably not going to be a real thorough investigation if you're in somebody else's house. You know, it's like, well,
right.
You know, whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. Learn the hard way.
You know, it's interesting. My former brother-in-law lived in Kennesaw, Georgia for a while. He was in the military there. And, you know, it was fascinating. That was one place I always felt safe in when I went to visit. Every home had a gun. The neighbors were friendly. Nobody messed with anybody. And it's because of that. It was the great equalizer. And, of course, that's why the Democrats want to take the guns, I guess. They can't handle people actually getting along because it's an equal force. But we also have Knott County. The fiscal court approved a partial shutdown last month of county government. This story comes from the Courier-Journal, by the way. I don't ever want to let them think I don't give them credit, even though they screw me on mine. Because fiscal court approved a partial shutdown of county government in Knott County, the road department can only respond to emergencies, but they also canceled health insurance for all county employees and elected officials. And the judge executive, Jeff Dobson, said they're going to make cuts to a program that delivers food to senior citizens. I find that interesting. They canceled health insurance for all county employees and elected officials. So what does that mean? These people are going to be looking to the state. All right, they work for the daggone county government agency. They're not working for minimum wage, I assure you of that. And now the state is going to have to pick up their medical, which is going to add another tax burden to we the people. Why? How screwed up is Knott County? You know, Pike County, they've laid off workers. They decided they wanted a major rate increase for garbage pickup. So all that's going on. You know, so all these things are happening. And everything's moving forward. So we're not the only one that's having a problem financially.
Yeah.
But the one thing most of these counties have in play is it's typically Democrats that run the show. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, well, I think in some cases, you know, in the good times, and I'll say this much, it's like dating all the way back to Obama, the country's been on a pretty good run, you know, as far as an economic upswing. And even there, it dipped a little under Bush towards the end, but it had a good run going up to that. I think you've just got a bunch of city, county, and state-type people that are just convinced that the money, you know, once again, being poor businessmen, they never plan for the worst-case scenario. So, you know, all of a sudden, even in spite of everything, you've spent more than you're taking in. People don't want to pay anymore. And I think long-term, what we may be looking at is the absolute worst-case scenario for a statist. And I'm not going to say liberal
right.
or conservative. A statist is that in situations like in Lingle, I think they have to cut back some services. I certainly, if I had my brothers, I'd say I'd rather it wouldn't cut back the emergency services like police, fire, and EMS. But I think what we're going to find out is in cities, you know, like this Martin County and in Knott County, stuff like that, is that the people are going to get along surprisingly well without the government taking care of everything from clipping your toenails to wiping your butt. And that is the long-term nightmare for some of these bureaucrats, these people who use government, whether it be city, state, or county. They use it as a slush fund for their relatives who, you know, can't stay sober or something like that, can't hold a regular job. So they get
right.
those jobs. And we see that in Louisville, too. We know that happens here, too. But
absolutely.
I think the longer-term nightmare for these people is, you know, okay, so I think you called Mayor Fisher on it and says, all right, fine, make your cuts there or make your cuts somewhere. We'll deal with it. And that if he tries to make his cuts and everybody says, no, we're not giving any more taxes, make the cuts. He makes the cuts and nobody notices. You know?
Sure, but you're not going to have a...
In Knott County, they make the cuts and nobody notices. Or Martin County, the sheriff's department stops doing that, so the state police roll through every once in a while. But they just say in this Martin County, they make the cuts and...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nothing bad happens, and you know, all of a sudden the people are like, "Oh, you pack of bastards!
Right,
never needed,
right.
We didn't need you in the first place. You was, you know, he's just
essentially well,
been
paying
this crap all these years." So
that's exactly
that's
it.
I mean, I hope it is. I certainly hope our societies haven't gotten to a point where they're going to degenerate the minute the cop's not standing behind you. Everybody's going to get
right.
a fight, but I think everybody's pretty capable of getting along, and
right.
I think that's what we're going to find out.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when we start looking at budget cuts and we start looking at everything else, I mean, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? Because nobody wants to make the cuts. Nobody wants to do the things that are necessary. Because the Democrats always take, and I know people hate it when I talk like that, but it's the truth. But the Democrats always seem to take, they don't ever give back, and they continue adding to that. They want more. Once they get other people's money, that's the thing me and you have talked about 1,000,000,000 times. Opium, right? Other people's money. They're addicted to it. You take as much as you can get, you blow it all, then you go back and keep going back. There has to be a balance somewhere where the people are finally getting sick of that mentality. And I'm not sure we're there yet, but it's disturbing to me that we continue allowing this to go on without ever trying to hold any accountability. I mean, if you want to look at how bad it is, you know, people want to talk about socialism and everything else, which is exactly what the mentality is with today's Democrats. And now Fisher wants to jump on that bandwagon, too. He already has in many ways. But let's look at the way, you know, taxes are paid throughout the world. Germany, for example, they have a 47.4% income tax. They have a 19% sales tax. They pay over $6 a gallon for gas. England, 47% income tax, 20% sales tax, $6.10 a gallon for gas. Italy, 45.8% income tax, 22% sales tax. Greece, 65% income tax, 24% sales tax, $6.83 per gallon. This is what happens with socialist control and this so-called progressive movement that these Democrats in this country are all about now. Now, let me ask you something. Can any of us really afford to pay, you know, 45 to 65% on income taxes, throw in another 20-plus percent on sales taxes, and $6 or $7 a gallon for gas, and get ahead in this world or have any kind of a life at all? Not without making wages go up, but those wages are going to go up. It's not going to make a difference in your bottom line. The wages will have to go up to pay for all these taxes. So it's a bubble. That's what people are finding out now with the income tax returns. You know, we passed income tax changes and everything else. People are getting more money each week in their check, and now they're bitching because their federal income tax return, they're not getting back a daggone small fortune. They're getting back essentially what they should have been getting back all along. And quite frankly, why would you want to give the government a tax-free loan anyway, which is what you're doing when you get an income tax return? But we look at this stuff, right? So now they're bitching because, well, I'm not getting back what I was getting. Well, yeah, you are. You're just getting it every week in your paycheck. Well, that's not the same thing. Why? Because you can't count.
You're not paying as much in. You're not getting as, you know, you're paying less in, but you're not. So what you're saying, what these people are saying is, well, I'd rather the government took extra, because that's what cracks me up, is we have become so dumbed down as a society I mean, and it's not just the government. The government enjoys that. The government actually enjoys the fact that people like returns, because that means you're going to loan them your money so that you can have that nice, you know, whatever, late April surprise. It's like getting Christmas, but it's Christmas you paid for. And,
right,
and
exactly.
The government's got them there. And it's not only the government, but all these private tax preparers and stuff. They're like, oh, we can help you get your refund quicker, you know, yay.
Sure.
And then you got the auto dealers and the furniture dealers and the appliance dealers. We'll process your taxes so your refund, you know, we can spend it.
Right.
Like, this is going to be
right.
great. Like, no, people need to grow up and say, you know what, the ideal tax refund, the tax that you should owe about $50 at the end of the year. That way, you know, you write a $50 check and you're squared up with the government. It means you didn't pay them any more than you had to. Matter of fact, it means you paid them about $1 a week less than you probably should have. Good. So square up with them at the end of the year on April 15th and get on with it. But people, amazingly, like I said, they've been marketed into believing that, oh, you want a big return. Big return. It's
right.
a good thing. It's like, no. It is an unbelievably shitty thing, is what it is.
Uh-huh. It is. It's a scam. You know, but that's what you set up. And I mean, a lot of people that are bitching about that now are the people who really aren't making any money anyway. They're not doing anything to better their life. They're counting 22 kids by 35 different dads, all right, and trying to get deductions on all of that bullshit, everything else. They're paying in $100 a year in taxes and getting back 10 grand. They don't like it now because we're only getting back 1,000. They're still getting 10 times what they paid in, right? And that's not fair either. You know, everybody else has to pay for that.
I don't think those are actually fixed. I think your earned income tax credit and everything is just fine. I think that what they're doing is it's just smoothed out a little bit. Your weekly withholdings were probably notably less, and probably, you know, your monthly or weekly withholdings are probably greater than the amount that you know, the reduction in your weekly withholdings is great. So basically,
right.
It's just everybody's been paying a little bit closer to what they should have been paying instead of overpaying.
Absolutely.
And that is not
Absolutely.
A bad thing, but everybody's just freaking out because their Christmas in April thing is, you know, this bonus check that they perceive it to
right.
be is not happening. And that just, the stupid is
yeah,
so
and if they would take care of their money through the year, put $50 a week away for the year, you know, that they're waiting for this tax refund to get, instead of letting the government have it interest free, put that $50 a week in a savings account, get a little interest on it for yourself, then maybe you have a little extra you can buy a 2-inch bigger big screen. I don't know. Let's
better,
go to Mayo.
Better yet, yeah, I was going to say, or better yet, just pay off your credit card, because that's going to save you about 15 to 20% a month.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't
yeah.
have credit cards like them. I got rid of them 20 years ago. Go ahead, Mayo.
I'm just kind of curious what y'all's thoughts are, because they're talking about the there may be no Christmas in April, because since, you know, the IRS, none of them wanted to work during the government shutdown, there's a backlog on everything. And then the second thing is, I'm surprised, because like you said, why give the government an interest-free loan? So many people claim zero on their W-4. Well, if you're single, you can claim two, but many businesses, they to save money, instead of ordering the forms, they just print out copies. Well, the copies don't have the worksheet on the back. It's just front, you know, for the W-4 or W-2, whichever. And it lists what you can do and the deductions you can take. So if you're single, you can claim two. So if you claim zero, the government's taking on average 27%. You claim one, now they're taking 22%. You claim two, it's like 17 or 18%. So that money stays in your paycheck. You don't get as big of a refund at the end of the year, but I've still always gotten,
yeah.
you know, a pretty decent refund, you know, not thousands, but $800, $900, somewhere around there.
Sure.
And the other thing that kind of kills me after I became a homeowner was that they did away with the head of household. Well, they didn't do away with it, but they changed it, because used to, if you just owned a home, you could claim head of household because you're paying property taxes and other, you know, everything like that. Well, now it's you have to have a dependent living with you in that home at least 6 months out of the year.
And the standard deduction went way up, too. So, you know, I mean, they offset a lot of that with a standard deduction. What's screwing up a lot of people right now is the standard deduction. It used to be, you know, I think your standard deduction was somewhere around 10, 12 grand, whatever it was. And, you know, so they basically doubled that. So a lot of people who are itemizing are already getting that deduction, right? And that's what's driving people nuts. They're already getting that deduction. So most of these long forms, this is where H&R Block and all the other ones get pissed off at, they make a killing going on their computer, punching in some numbers for the long form, and they charge you out the ass for something that the computer takes care of for them. They don't have to do any math anymore. The computer does it.
Yep.
And they charge you out the ass for it. Now, basically, everybody can file a 1040A, or most people can, you know,
pretty
because
close,
they've taken you out. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I'll be honest,
so,
aside from the fact that I have multiple income streams that have to be accounted for, as far as my, everything from 1099s to W-2s and all that, as far as, you know, like the accountants will have to figure that out. But I'm here to tell you, I've run some early numbers, and I'm probably just going to standard deduction. You know, I got a mortgage, but the standard deductions for being alive will probably be more than I itemized. So, you know what? We're taking the standard deduction. So, yeah, aside from the income end of it, some rental income and stuff, aside from that, my deductions, I'm not going to be looking for all these receipts and itemizing stuff and trying to explain it and get letters from, whatever charity I donated a couple cases of toilet paper to or something like that.
Right.
I'm not doing that. It's going to be pretty simple.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And that's what screwed up a lot of people. Now, the upside is this year you're going to save a little money filling out your taxes. You're going to save at least $300 not filling out long form on your taxes. The downside is you're not even going to consider that when you get your tax refund. My son, for example, he works out at Ford. And, look at his W-2s and everything else. But as soon as this new tax plan went into effect last year, he immediately noticed a jump in his paycheck, right?
Yep.
Now, this year, he's already filled out his taxes. He's already filled out his taxes for this year, and he's not getting as much of a refund. But when you add in what he had already gotten back through the year, it's pretty damn close. He's okay. He's happy. He's happy. He's not happy because he didn't get, a big refund, but he's happy because he got it through the year when he needed it, right? So all those things add up. And that's what I don't understand about all these people. They just drive me a little bit crazy. Late phone call. I'm going to go ahead and take it, even though we're almost done, because this is Mr. McAdam. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God.
I'm doing just fine. I'm just really worried about this economic crisis that the city is facing. I got a copy of the mayor's proposed list of cutbacks, potential reductions for fiscal years 20 through 23, and it's just heartbreaking. One of the things they're going to eliminate is the shot spotter. They're spending $400,000 a year on the shot spotters, which are things that let the police know if somebody shoots a gun off in the West End. They're going to cut back on that $400,000. I don't know. I mean, lives are at stake here.
I know you're being facetious. I don't know how you can have a straight face.
They're cutting back on public health and wellness. What they're doing is they're cutting back on five of the mobile syringe exchange program sites. They're limiting the exchange hours for exchanging. I mean, we're talking about human lives here that are going to be lost because people can't get clean needles. They're talking about not funding the Belle of Louisville. They're gonna quit operating the Belle of Louisville. I mean, what are we gonna do? This is terrible. They're gonna quit supporting Operation Brightside. We're not gonna have any flower plantings on the medians anymore. I don't know how we're going to do it. And one of the big things, remember 2 years ago we had a $6.5 million surplus when the mayor took $2 million and hired drug dealers and ex-convicts as community outreach people, and you know that's been so successful a program. I mean, we're talking about human life here, and they're going to cut back on that, and they're cutting back on support for the Science Center, and they're going to cut back the second shift animal control officers. This is devastating. I mean, we have got to have some more time.
I got to cut you off. I know you're being facetious, but it's 8 o'clock. I can't go through this for 20 minutes. It's running out of time. I'm sorry. Normally I'll let you go because I just think it's funny, but right now we're basically at the end of the show, so I gotta. Mr. Martin, I have to bail in a minute, so I really got to cut you off.
Yeah.
But you know that's the absurdity. But that's the you just gave us a great list of the absurdity of where our money has been going for no reason whatsoever. The stuff you just listed is already a few million dollars every year. These shot spotters, I never understood in the first damn place. A gun goes off in the West End, so it tells you what basic neighborhood this gun was shot from. But, you know, it takes the police forever to get there anyway. How in the fuck is that going to change anything? It does not. You know, I never understood that kind of thought process. You know, props to Dave James. That was his idea.
I didn't even mention the Wi-Fi garbage cans. They're getting rid of four Wi-Fi garbage cans.
Well, we lost Google Fiber.
That's going to save $40,000.
Yeah, well, we lost Google Fiber.
What are these people going to do?
I know. That's the story.
Without Wi-Fi garbage cans, what are the people going to do at the bus stop? I mean, to check on their portfolios.
I get it. Yeah, yep. You know, they can't take their free Obama phones to the bus stop and get their free Wi-Fi. The world's going to end, you know. I just think it's hilarious. I appreciate the calls, guys, but I do have to wrap up. I know Martin's got to go. Thank you so much, Mr. McAdam, for reminding us of the absurdity of this budget. Thanks for the calls, Mayo, Paul, as usual. Ed, final thoughts.
Well, you know, final thoughts. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent of what Mr. McAdam was saying. And this it goes well with what I was saying about the mayor. It's like, look, the mayor and the others, goofballs that are running this city have been running it for a long time. So you know where the non-essential spending is. And some of the stuff Tom listed, it's nice stuff. You know, if you had an extra load of money, that would be – I don't think it's bad stuff to have handy, but you know what? Budgets are running a little tight. Pensions are underfunded. Got to fund the pensions. At least that's what those Democrats are telling us that. You know, it's an inviolable contract. So you know what? Honor it. Shut up. Quit bitching about it. Honor it. And I'm with McAdam. I mean, like I said, these things that you listed, they sound like nice things to have. But when you got budget cuts, you got to toughen up and make cuts. So, I mean, I am utterly unsympathetic to local government. You know what? You're short. Make cuts. It's not a party. You don't, you know, this is not like a bar that never closes down. It's, you know, you got to pay as you go. So make the cuts and stop belly aching about it. Be a big boy, you know, put your big boy pants on. That to me is the most pathetic thing about it, is the whining. And like Brent Ackerson said, this crisis generation crap that goes on. No, be big boys. You're running a shortage. You're running a debt. You're running a deficit. You're a big boy and make the cuts, just like every responsible household or responsible business would do, and stop bellyaching about it. That's the thing that gets me the most. Got to make cuts. Sometimes, you know, you have up years, you have down years. I get that. We all get that. It's the bellyaching. It's the crisis. It's the generating of the crisis. It's the whining. It's like, you know. Please, you're the mayor. You're a full-grown man. You claim this business success and all this other stuff. Just, you know, and Mike Ackerson said, just deal with it. Just, and that's, you know, we know people that are affiliated with Ackerson too. But, and unfortunately, I live just outside of his district. I would be proud to have him as a council person. But that's the big thing. When they start doing this, I wish people had a form of which to look at the government and just say, okay, just stop the whining. It's pathetic, really. And, you know, if anybody listening gets a chance, they need to look at the mayor and say, just stop the whining. It's really pathetic. It's sad to have to watch.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. I, you know, the biggest problem with government spending is government itself. We, you know, we're spending way too much time, you know, dealing with these idiots and not holding them accountable. You know, I look at so many things right now, and I just have to wonder, you know, how is it that we continue allowing ourselves to do this? Take the West End, for example. You know, the West End is ripe and prime for a major renaissance. They have been for a couple of decades. But they continue electing Democratic mayors who come down there and lie to them about what they're going to do and never deliver on anything, and yet the West End still votes Democrat no matter what. Like they're going to do something after all this time. It doesn't work that way. You know, the big picture to me is simple. You know, you talk about Brent Ackerson. I like Brent Ackerson and what he's saying right now, okay? There's a lot of things about Brent Ackerson I don't like, and that's the truth. You know, I've told Brent. You know, I've told him to his face, you know, this is ridiculous or this I don't like. But I got to tell you, the thing that I'd like about Brent Ackerson, doesn't matter whether he's a Democrat or Republican, he actually is willing to have the discussion and defend his position and have a discussion with open ears. And that's all I ask for anybody. Let's have the communication. Let's see if we can find common ground. And Ackerson is that guy. I really wish he would have beat Fisher in the primary because we were going to get stuck with a Democratic mayor. But I think Brent Ackerson would have been a Democratic mayor who brings common sense to the table. So I like Brent Ackerson.
He was running a county attorney.
I apologize. My bad. I wish he would have run for mayor is what I meant to say. But the bottom line is, you know, that's people you can work with. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. That's people you can work with. And that's what we need in government. We don't have that. We haven't had that for a very long time at any level. Side note. The State of the Union last week went off on Tuesday. In my opinion, it was one of the best State of the Unions I think I've heard in quite some time, not because Trump is an eloquent speaker. Let's forget that. But let's look at the facts of what was going on in that. When the fact checkers came out after the State of the Union, the media fact checkers, I mean, it was laughable at what they were trying to fact check on President Trump, one of which was that he said about a third of the people coming here illegally and crossing through the desert and everything else are raped or other, right? One of the fact checkers actually went out there and said that was a lie. It was false because it's only 31%. Now think about how nitpicky you got to be. 33% versus 31%. That's exactly what the whole fact checking was by the mainstream media and the liberal press. It was disgusting. The one thing I did like about President Trump's State of the Union, and I got to be honest with you, I loved it. You know, after they finally rescheduled this thing for last Tuesday, you know, I suggested on air 2 weeks ago that President Trump should not give the Democrats a copy of the State of the Union. There's not a requirement to give them a copy of his speech in advance. Let them have to listen to the speech and deal with the speech accordingly, just like we the American people do. Teach them a lesson for playing this silly game. Well, he did give them a copy of the speech. Turns out he gave them a copy of the wrong speech. He gave them a copy of a speech that he did not deliver at the State of the Union. That's why Nancy Pelosi was sitting in the days behind him freaking out and going through the paperwork. This isn't what he sent us. What the hell is this? She was lost because she couldn't understand what he was saying. And to me, that was a brilliant move. And finally, when you look at the State of the Union, you look at all the damn Democratic congresswomen dressed in white. All right, two things came to mind to me at that point. These Democrats continue screaming that white people are bad. And they chose white to wear at the State of the Union to make some sort of a statement that only makes sense to themselves. Nobody else in this country ever cared about it. And the other thing, white is a symbol of the KKK that the Democratic Party had, you know, before the Republicans finally got a hold of it and chose to shut them out of business. So they decided to choose a racist color, white, that demonstrates the KKK. They decide to choose the color white that supposedly represents everything they hate, which is the white people in America today, and they're still not getting chastised for their racism and their hatred and everything else. I found that a laughable optic, if you will. You know, not that I care what they wear, but the optics of it to me were extremely bad, and the mainstream press didn't do anything about it. If Republican women would have done the same thing under a Democratic president, it would have been the same thing, the same situation you mentioned earlier with Angela Lee. There would have been an uproar. What kind of symbolism is that? What are you trying to create? You're crazy. I can't believe you did this. And they would be attacked at every level. So it's fascinating to me to see those things come together. You know, the American people, I think, are waking up. A poll released today said President Trump's approval numbers are at 52 or 53%, depending on which poll you look at. And I think a lot of that had to do with the State of the Union. Now, the bottom side of this, get ready for another government shutdown unless the Democrats cave. President Trump did exactly what Nancy Pelosi asked him to do. He said he would reopen, she said to reopen the government, and they would talk about the border wall. Trump reopened the government, he gave the State of the Union, and they're still refusing to consider money for the border wall. You're going to do another shutdown. But in this case, you have to understand the big picture. Trump gave them exactly what they said they wanted, and they have refused to uphold their end of the, under, up end of the, uphold the other end of their word. That means that when we have another government shutdown, obviously, in my opinion, the blame should lie with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the other Democrats who continue to lie, cheat, and steal, and do anything they want. That's it for tonight. That's it for this week. We will see you next week, same time, same channel.
Yes,
Mr. Martin, thanks for joining us. You all appreciate
yes,
it.
All right.
For everyone else, have a great week. Thank you so much for joining us. Next Monday, 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. Take care. God bless.
I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone. And then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you.